Luke 19, the commencement of the first letter. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, but he was not in Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself the kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained on trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. He said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. He said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy plan, which I have kept laid out in the mantle. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou dost not sow. He said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, but taking up that I laid not down, and weeping that I did not sow, wherefore thou gavest not thou thy money into the bank, that at my coming I may require my money refused. He said unto them, stood by, and take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. But I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending unto Jerusalem.
We were singing just now, to follow and to serve thee here, and to be for thee without thee. I noticed in prayer that our dear brother Mr. Woolgar was impressed to pray that we might get some little impetus in the matter of service. These scriptures are exceedingly simple. In fact, I would be disappointed if the brethren haven't a good deal to say about them. But they nevertheless bring out some very important principles which we do well to remind one another of, and perhaps might give us a little stimulus in relation to the opportunities of these last and closing days. In opening up the passage, we do well to remember that Luke writes in moral order. Mark is more in time order. Luke writes in moral order. And you will remember that preceding this, we find that sight has been given to blind Bartimaeus. His eyes were open, and he followed Jesus in the way. It was a matter of his sight. He got some appreciation, speaking morally in his soul, as to who the Lord was. The next incident, that of Zacchaeus, ends with the words that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And we get in this incident the precious word that this day is salvation come to this house. Now anyone who's had the good and gain of sight, their eyes open, who is also in the gain of God's salvation, this day is salvation come to this house, is then set up in relation to service. Occupy, trade till I come. Now, I thought we might perhaps go to this well-known passage and see if we can't get a few lessons in relation to the simple matter of serving the Lord. You'd be happy about this, Mr. Rice?
Very.
Good, simple life. I hope you'll be happy, Basil. Now, though you haven't suggested the scripture, Mr. Beatty, you will be expecting a good big contribution from you.
There is a little company at Thessalonica,
yes,
that they have turned to God from idols,
yes,
to serve, that is, to living God, and to wait for his Son from heaven until I come.
Yes. Do you think perhaps there might be a danger, Basil, of imagining that service is only to one little class? I think characteristically every Christian is a servant. No doubt this highlights the epistle to the Philippians, where the apostle takes up the position likewise of a servant or slave, and he speaks to the Christian company, all of us, exhibiting certain features that are proper to the true Christian servant. We're all servants, brethren. I hope we realize that at the beginning. We're all in this matter.
Even in the kitchen.
Oh yes, the sisters are included. As a matter of fact, Mr. Rice, many of the assemblies are built up or are not built up according to the measure in which the sisters are given to the grace of hospitality. You touch a very important matter. The sisters are in this matter as well as the brothers.
The women who accompany the Lord and minister to him.
Ah, that's right. To him. To me, that's right. Yes. You'll be happy about this, Stanis.
Very popular line.
That is.
Even in Revelation 22, we read there, shall serve him. Our servants shall serve.
Yes. And added, they shall see his face. Yes, a wonderful thing. Of course, we ended the section. Some might have thought that the reading should have concluded at the verse before we finished, but it says, when he had thus spoken, he went before. So that if there's an exhortation here, and a very telling one in relation to service, he himself sets the pattern. And I think this is encouraging.
It's very assessing now the man in the picture of the Lord Jesus.
That is true. Yes. Yes. Yes, I have heard it said, Ted, that he is the nobleman, we're less than that. But as a matter of fact, you in Evesham are in the Countess of Huntingdon's rooms, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes, she always was in the habit of saying, so I suppose, that she was saved by the little word M.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in 1 Corinthians 1, not many noble. It doesn't say not any noble. She had been saved by the little word M. But although that there are some noble who are saved, I think there's no doubt about it that the one in this parable is a figure of the Lord Jesus.
Well, he definitely went into a far country, didn't he?
That's right.
And from God's foolish glory down to Calvary's depths of woe, didn't he?
Yes, yes. Yes, you haven't quite finished that. Now on high. Ah, this is a far country, yes. He's been refused by earth, but he's been accepted in heaven, and in that far country, he's received the kingdom.
Yes.
Yes.
In your opening remark, shall be a reference to blind Bartimaeus receiving his sight.
Yes.
And to the following incident where that is. Today, salvation is coming to the church. This is necessary, isn't it, to have our eyes truly open as to the character of the ministry of Christ in relation to ourselves. We are told later on that the two on the way to Emmaus, they thought that they would have restored the kingdom to Israel. But he had to see that they were slower up. It was before Christ the Supper and the rise again as we glory. Now, the opening verse where we began to read, it says, as they heard these things, he added, and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. But we are in the light now of the essential part in which his death was necessary, in order that the kingdom of God may be established righteously, and we may be brought into the kingdom.
I think that's very helpful, Mr. Beatty. Really, what you said, he added and spake a parable, indicates again this moral order of which we're speaking. When you were discoursing upon this matter of service, my mind went to Mark's gospel. Remember how he went into a certain mountain and called the disciples to him. And in that gospel, the necessary education for service is that they were with him,
yes,
and sent forth of him.
Yes.
They had to be in his company, eyes open, proving his salvation before they could represent him in this world.
That's right.
Yes. They had to learn service from him who is the servant.
He said that a parable is for his own to understand, particularly.
Right. Yes.
Is the Lord adjusting them in relation to the court service by telling them that they're thinking that the kingdom of God is going to be established?
I think so. Yes.
Doesn't it come as it?
I think this is the chief point in this story, Mr. Woolgar. In his absence, they are to trade till he comes. This is the character of the present dispensation. He has gone into the far country. He has been exalted on high. The kingdom is his, but as yet it hasn't come into manifestation. He's coming back. But in the meantime, his servants are busy just anticipating the moment when he will come.
And that's why you said in Luke it is moral, is it? In the previous chapter, 17, isn't it, he says the kingdom of God doesn't come by observation. The kingdom of God is within you.
That's the thing.
And I suppose this is the character of the servants. The kingdom of God is actually within them, is it?
That's the thing, yes. Presently this servant, this kingdom is going to come into manifestation. But in the meantime, it's in mystery form that we are in the secret of it. I think that was a good word you said in regard to parables, Mr. Woolgar, if I may say so. It has been said that the parables were a little bit like the night when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. That pillar of cloud that separated them from the Egyptians was light to the children of Israel, but it was darkness to the Egyptians. And in this little story, you find the elements that are so illuminating to those who are in the secret, but such darkness to those who are still in Egypt, those who are in nature's darkness.
You see, normally in Matthew 13, it is given to you to understand.
That's the thing. Yes, I like that word, given.
Yes.
What is doubt? It's not
the actual teaching seems to be, from God's own word, that a parable is given to the people so that they shouldn't understand, which is fulfilled scripture.
Yes.
But the understanding of the parable, you use the given in the house, or said in Matthew 13, to the others, we would all make it much clearer to his end. But he didn't have it. He didn't have it to the meaning, did it? Actually, to the people. Is that right?
Well, you remember that at that occasion, the Lord quotes from Matthew, from Isaiah 6, that in hearing they might hear, and so on. There was judicial blinding upon that nation that has rejected their Messiah. But as you rightly say, entering into the house, then he was free to open to them the secrets that were hidden from them who are judicially blinded. But I do think that we ought to just take heed to what Mr. Beatty has said, unto you it is given. Many kings and righteous men have desired to see these things which ye see, and have not seen them. Hear these things which ye have heard, and have not heard them. Really, we're in a privileged position, because it's been given to us. Now, I do think that's a good point for us to say, not on any merit on our side, it's been given to us, and should humble us.
So far, but also seems to be the nursing. We are increasing the phase.
We come in on the line of faith.
But the prophetic word from Isaiah, and here I believe have to, and the necessity of how these line lines open.
I will say, not finished. They have closed, shows that on the line of responsibility, they were guilty.
Would it be appropriate, just briefly to mention, any difference between this and the parable of the talents in Matthew 25?
I think so. Just before we do that, can we draw in that dear brother, Mr. Thomas, who tends to sit so quiet on these occasions?
That's all right.
Well, that's what we want to do. Yes. We want to draw you in. That's all right, isn't it?
Well, your reference to the line of faith, I suppose, is suggested by what we said of the ideas. He also to some different man. That's a reference to spiritual blessings.
I think that's good. Yes. Yes. But having his eyes open, he belongs to this favored race.
But there was a reference made to those who rejected the citizens who hated him.
Yes.
Although they were citizens, he had rights over them, didn't he?
Yes.
He had rights over everyone, didn't he?
I suppose correctly, Mr. Thomas, you would say, this is the nation that had rejected him. We do well to see the dispensational touch here. Whatever other application we might give to it, I'm sure that in correct interpretation, it's the nation that had refused him.
And they sent a message after it, didn't they?
Yes.
And that's a reference to seeing the event. And the problem.
I think that's excellent, you know. Some brethren, pardon this little word, I feel have so pressed the application of Scripture that there's been a danger of losing the clear dispensational framework. We never lose anything by retaining that clear dispensational framework. It'll make the moral application all the stronger. And I believe we do well to contend, first of all, for the correct interpretation of the passage.
Is the seeking and saving still going on?
Thank God it is.
What is that finished?
Sorry? Finished where?
Well, I'm asking a question.
Never. No, not till the Lord comes. Yes. He hasn't risen to and shut to the door, has he?
I wonder if it has a bearing on the service.
Well, yes, yes.
What the Lord has entrusted with to his people,
yes,
in relation to those who are still lost.
That's in their sin. Quite so. Yes. He himself sets the perfect example.
Yes, yes.
And I think what you rightly stress is that this service will continue so long as the day of grace is with us.
He's gone over 20 centuries, hasn't he?
That's the thing, yes. But presently he's going to rise and shut to the door, and then the day will be over.
See, when the kingdom of God comes, is manifested,
yes,
it'll take on a different character, won't it?
It'll just be faithfully, certainly, right? Yes, yes. The training will be over then.
Yes,
yes. Now, we want to get back to your question, Daniel. Yes.
Just tell me that there could be a difference between this and the parable of the talents in terms of the market.
Yes.
You better just open up what the difference in the two parables is. According to their several abilities.
Yes.
So that's the key to it. Yes, and we'll notice further that in Matthew the reward is the same. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord is said to each of the faithful servants. That's Matthew. But when you come to Luke, it's a question of 10, 5, and 10 and 5 cities. There's a gradation in the reward, although it's the same amount that is given to the servants. Could we briefly say that in Matthew's Gospel, it's God's sovereignty. It's according to his wisdom that the servants are given according to their ability. But in Luke's account, they all get the same amount. And this means, in simple terms, that you and I have got exactly the same as the Apostle Paul, or John, or Peter, or whoever you name. The question is responsibility, what we're doing. Eric, we're glad to see you there. This could be an interesting line for you. That's right. I think that's what we've got to stress. So on Matthew, we're writing the word sovereignty. On Luke, we're writing the word responsibility.
Is that why it's 10 here?
Yes.
10 on Luke, 13 on the
Luke.
And in Matthew, we're writing the word responsibility.
That's right. Yes.
It says 10 suggestions,
Tom. It does, yes. Why?
I was going to ask you why. I've been learning a lot lately.
Yes.
And in this regard,
yes.
It will pass so many things that said in Matthew.
That's good.
It says Matthew.
Yes.
And I thought you were asking me why.
Yes.
And I don't know.
Well,
I think you ought to say it when you don't know.